Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to Glory Light Chapel. It is our midweek service. It is Wednesday, November 16th, 2022, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are glad that you are here. You can participate in this meeting even if you're not sitting in the room. If you have questions or comments, you can text this number, 615-974-1182. That's 615-974-1182, and we may be able to respond even during our meeting. If you choose to call, you can use this number, but please leave a message, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. That number is 615-974-1182. Well, we've been studying the book, Christ's Object Lessons, by Ellen G. White, a beautiful little book regarding parables that Jesus told and what they mean and what they can mean to you and me today. And so we are going to look into this. We have been studying, we're maybe one-fifth of the way through. We ended on page 147 last time, and at the top of the page, and I would actually like to go back a page to get the context. So we're going to start at the top of page 146, but before we do that, at the top of 147, the third line down, she uses the word complaining. Talking about complaining when difficulties and pressure come. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between a complaint and a report. If you're working for somebody and they want to know what's going on, when you indicate to them that there's something wrong, that's not a complaint, although sometimes it's called that. Sometimes you're saying that, you know, your man is complaining about such and such. But that's not technically a complaint, at least the way it's being used here in this book. A complaint is making a report to somebody who cannot do something about it or has no responsibility or ability to answer that request or complaint or report. So it's a report to somebody who cannot or does not have the responsibility to do it. And all you're doing is creating ill will with a complaint like that. If you're working for somebody and they want to know and you make a report, then that's appropriate because they can do something about it. They're supposed to do something about it. And unless you report it, they won't know to do something about it. Now, when we're talking here about complaint versus report, you're going to hear her mention that when we talk to people, when we make reports to people, complaints she's calling them, then we're reporting to somebody who cannot do anything about it. And you'll hear that language in here. If you're making a report, the only way that you can make a report to somebody who can do something about it is if you make that report to God. And if you want to call it a complaint, that's fine, but to him, it's not a complaint, it's a report. Not in the sense that we think of complaint here. So a complaint is a report to somebody who cannot or is not responsible to do something about it, and all it creates is ill will. To make a report is to report a situation to somebody who can do something about it, is responsible to do something about it, and it makes it possible or opens the way in which a response can be made. And so when we're talking to people, they cannot do anything about our spiritual issues, but when we talk to God, he can. So as we read this, starting at the top of page 146, let's keep that in mind as we hear the words of what she has to say. All right, page 146, top of the page. By the way, there's another thing about this. You sometimes hear the term prayer and fasting. Jesus used that term. Fasting is a token of surrender. Just as circumcision is a token of surrender on a different plane. So when we talk about prayer, report to someone who can do something about it, and with a heart full of surrender and willingness to allow God to do what he thinks is best, and to do so in an earnest manner. So earnestness is also involved in fasting. So fasting is the token of earnest surrender, and circumcision is a token of surrender in the form of cutting off the flesh and relying upon God instead of ourselves. So that's she doesn't use the term fasting in here, but I thought that I would bring that in. So let's concentrate now on the complaint versus report. Reporting to someone who can do something about it, complaining to someone who cannot. All right, top of 146. Our prayers are to be as earnest and persistent as was the petition of the needy friend who asked for the loaves at midnight. The more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ. And she uses the word union like connection rather than a relationship, which can be kind of nebulous sometimes. All right, backing up, the more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ, and that's the idea of fasting. We shall receive increased blessings because we have increased faith. Our part is to pray and believe. And on page 61, I think we covered this last time, she says, our part is to yield to the power of God's word. And that's the same thing. We're believing. We're believing in the power of God's word. We're believing in his ability to accomplish for us what he has promised. And after we make a report, we believe that God will either do what we ask or he'll say no, but he has his best, our best interest in mind and his whatever his answer is. So, our part is to pray and believe. Watch unto prayer. Watch and cooperate with the prayer-hearing God. Bear in mind that we are laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Speak and act in harmony with your prayers. And, you know, that's really important. It's sort of like practice what you preach. Physician, heal thyself, and all of those things. If we pray for something and then act opposite of that, then we are disparaging our own request, and we are disparaging God's strength and his power and turning our report into a complaint, if you will. If we believe, then, excuse me, turn with me to, we'll talk about believing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll find out what it means to believe here, given in the book of Hebrews. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, the word faith in the Greek, either in the noun or in the verb sense, means to believe or a belief. So that's what faith is. And so, in verse 1 says, now faith, believing, is the substance of things hoped for or expected. Now, faith is the substance of things expected, the evidence of things not seen. So, if we have evidence of things not seen, that means we believe it exists even though we can't see it. All right? So, when it says here, our part is to pray and believe, then we are to act as if we already have the substance of what we're asking for, especially if we know that God wants to give us what we're asking for. For example, if we ask for righteousness, you know that God wants to give us righteousness. If we ask for wisdom, you know that God wants to give you wisdom. So go forth believing that God is giving you the wisdom that you need. Excuse me. All right, so we go down to the next paragraph where it says, speak and act in harmony with your prayers, then you're going forth believing that you already have the substance of what you're asking for. You already have the wisdom that you need to accomplish what God is asking you to do. And so you just move forth in confidence knowing that God is going to provide. That is the substance of things expected, as if we already have it, even though we can't see it. All right, speak and act in harmony with your prayers. It will make an infinite difference with you whether trials shall prove your faith to be genuine or show that your prayers are only a form. So do you really believe what you're asking for? When perplexities arise and difficulties confront you, look not for help to humanity. That's filing a complaint. Trust all with God. That's making a report. There's a difference. The practice of telling our difficulties to others only makes us weak and brings no strength to them. It lays upon them the burden of our spiritual infirmities, which they cannot relieve. We seek the strength of erring finite man when we might have the strength of erring infinite God. You need not go to the ends of the earth for wisdom, for God is near. It is not the capabilities you now possess or ever will have that will give you success. It is that which the Lord can do for you. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. Remember, complaint versus report. He longs to have you reach after him by faith. He longs to have you expect great things from him. That's the substance of things expected, knowing that God can and will provide it because you know he wants to do it. Going on, she says, he longs to give you understanding in temporal as well as in spiritual matters. He can sharpen the intellect. He can give tact and skill. Put your talents into the work, ask God for wisdom, and it will be given you. You know God wants you to have wisdom. Take the word of Christ as your assurance. Has he not invited you to come to him, or come unto him? Never allow yourself to talk in a hopeless, discouraged way. If you do, you will lose much. By looking at appearances and complaining, who are we talking to? Each other, who can't do anything about it. By looking at appearances and complaining when difficulties and pressures come, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. Look to him who has light and power and efficiency. That's making a report. Going on, she says, there is in genuine faith a buoyancy, a steadfastness of principle, and a fixedness of purpose that neither time nor toil can weaken. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. There are many who long to help others, but they feel that they have no spiritual strength or light to impart. Let them present their petitions at the throne of grace. Plead for the Holy Spirit. Talk about prayer and fasting. Let them present their petitions at the throne of grace. Is that complaining or reporting? That's reporting, isn't it? Because the throne of grace is the power of God, and he can't answer that prayer. He can provide what is needed. Then it says, plead for the Holy Spirit. God stands back of every promise he has made. With your Bible in your hands, say, I have done as thou hast said. I present thy promise. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We must not only pray in Christ's name, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This explains what is meant when it is said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26. Such prayer God delights to answer. When with an earnestness and intensity, that's fasting, we breathe a prayer in the name of Christ, there is in that very intensity a pledge from God that he is about to answer our prayer exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Let me read that again. When with earnestness and intensity we breathe a prayer in the name of Christ, there is in that very intensity a pledge from God that he is about to answer our prayer exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3, verse 20. And I can tell you that from my own experience that this is true. There are times when you may have to fall on your bed and throw your face in your pillow and just plead with God, God, you have promised to make a Christian out of me. I don't see how in the world you're going to do it, but you have promised, and I claim that promise, and I hold you to that promise. That is fasting. That is prayer with earnestness. And sometimes we need to go to that length in order to have it accomplished. And I can tell you from my own experience that this is true. Going on, she says, Christ has said, what things soever ye desire, when ye believe, expecting the substance of it, when ye believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let me read that again. Christ has said, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That is the substance of things expected. Top of page 148. By the way, that's from Mark 11:24. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that is in his character, according to his will, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13. If we ask amiss, if we ask for something that God knows is going to hurt us, he will say no to that prayer. And sometimes we ask for things that he does want us to have, but he says, wait a while, the time is not right yet. And there may be reasons why it's not right. And that may have to do with working with other people or whatever. And Daniel chapter 9, the beginning part, talks about that, where the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and says, things are being delayed. The master is working with the king of Persia. And so we're working on that. And when that's done, we'll be ready. Let's go ahead and turn there. I can paraphrase this, but it would be better if we just flat out read it. So let's go to Daniel chapter 9, and let's see how well I did in this paraphrase. Daniel chapter 9. Let's see, where is this? All right, verse 21. Daniel's been praying to God and asking for things. In verse 21, let's go to verse 20. It says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, that is God's people. That's the holy mountain is the dwelling place of God's people. Verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am now come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And let's see, that's not quite what I'm looking for. I wasn't planning to do this, so please bear with me. All right, let's go to chapter 10. Let's look at verse 7. Daniel 10, verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me. By the way, he was in vision, and this is Gabriel. An hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understanding the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now in Prophets and Kings, page 571 to 572, this is where we learned that this is Gabriel talking to Daniel. So if you want to write that reference down, if you want to, Prophets and Kings 571 and 572. All right, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came forth for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me on 21 days. But lo, Michael, that's Christ, one of the, he, by the way, Michael is the name of Christ with reference to the, being the head of the angels. This is Gabriel, an angel speaking. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And so that's what they were doing. They were working with the king of Persia. So that's enough of that for now. Let's go back to our book. All right, top of page 148. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13. And the beloved John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks with great plainness and assurance. If we ask anything according to his will, that is, in, according to his character, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him, John 5:14 and 15. Then press your petition to the Father in the name of Jesus. God will honor that name. Now that's making a report, not filing a complaint. There's a difference. The rainbow round about the throne is an assurance that God is true, that in him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have sinned against him and are undeserving of his favor, yet he himself has put into our lips that most wonderful of pleas, Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Jeremiah 14:21. When we come to him confessing our unworthiness and sin, he has pledged himself to give heed to our cry. The honor of his throne is staked for the fulfillment of his word unto us. So if you go to God seeking forgiveness, you can know that you have it. And you have it already because God never condemns you. And so you can know that he's extending forgiveness to you when you ask for it. The honor of his throne is staked for the fulfillment of his word unto us. Like Aaron, who symbolized Christ, our Savior bears the names of his people on his heart in the holy place. Our great high priest remembers all the words by which he has encouraged us to trust. He is ever mindful of his covenant. Now, his covenant is what we call the new covenant, and that is the promise to write his laws on our hearts and on our minds, that is, in our inward parts. So, how difficult is it to do what is written on our heart? That's as natural as breathing. So to keep God's law, just simply allowing God to write it on your hearts, then it will come forth. You don't have to do anything else. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be kept bottled up. It will come forth if it's written on your heart. The heart, by the way, in the Bible is the seat of the emotions. So that means you're emotionally involved and you love to do it. All right, bottom of page 148. All who seek him shall find. All who knock will have the door open to them. The excuse will not be made, trouble me not, the door is closed, I do not wish to open it. That excuse will never be made. Never will one be told, I cannot help you. Those who beg at midnight for loaves to feed the hungry souls will be successful. So we're actually pleading to help others, and that's what God loves to do most. And if whatever we're doing, the purpose of it is to make us stronger or to make it so that we can do better work in helping others, that's the way God works. That's how God wants to work in you and me. very bottom of the page, in the parable, he who asks bread for the stranger receives as many as he needeth. And in what measure will God impart to us that we may impart? Ephesians 4, verse 7. Angels are watching with intense interest to see how man is dealing with his fellow man. When they see one manifest Christ-like sympathy for the erring, they press to his side and bring to his remembrance words to speak that will be as the bread of life to the soul. Let's look at that again. When they see one manifest Christ-like sympathy for the erring, they press to his side and bring to his remembrance words that to speak that will be as the bread of life to the soul. Wow. Angels are surrounding you, telling you what to say. They know, because the Holy Spirit is telling them, they know what that person needs to hear. And they will give you words to speak that will be just what that person needs to hear. Let me read that one more time. Let me go back to the top of the page. Angels are watching with intense interest to see how man is dealing with his fellow man. When they see one manifest Christ-like sympathy for the erring, they press to his side and bring to his remembrance words to speak that will be as the bread of life to the soul. Now, they bring to his remembrance. That means it's already there. It's already in his mind. Now they're bringing it to the forefront so that he can remember what they've already read, what they've already studied. So if you're not studying, it's not going to be there. That means that you need to be studying your Bible and you need to be praying and asking the Lord to show you what he need, what asking him to show you what you need to know. And when it's back in the back of your mind, the angels will bring it forth so that you can speak those words. Going on, it says, so God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:19. Your testimony in its genuineness and reality, he will make powerful in the power of the life to come. The word of the Lord will be in your mouth as truth and righteousness. Let me read that again. Your testimony in its genuineness and reality, he will make powerful in the power of the life to come. That's in the future. The word of the Lord will be in your mouth as truth and righteousness. Personal effort for others should be preceded by much secret prayer, for it requires great wisdom to understand the science of saving souls. Before communicating with men, commune with Christ. At the throne of the heavenly grace, obtain a preparation for ministering to the people. Well, Jesus did that all the time. In fact, he even prayed all night long sometimes. I have done that. That wasn't my choice, but the Lord kept me awake. And it was before an important Sabbath sermon that I was going to give, and God kept me awake all night, and we discussed it all night long. I was kind of wondering how the day was going to go, but he kept me going all day long, and I even had an hour and a half flute and voice concert that afternoon as well. So he will strengthen you for these things. So when we talk about prayer and fasting, we're talking about earnest prayer and earnest surrender. And let's read that paragraph one more time because this is important. Personal effort for others should be preceded by much secret prayer. By the way, I didn't choose to stay up that night. God kept me up because he wanted to talk. Personal effort for others should be preceded by much secret prayer, for it requires great wisdom to understand the science of saving souls. Before communicating with men, commune with Christ. At the throne of the heavenly grace, obtain a preparation for ministering to the people. Let your heart break for the longing it has for God, for the living God. The life of Christ has shown what humanity can do by being partaker of the divine nature. All that Christ received from God, we too may have. Then ask and receive. With the persevering faith of Jacob, with the unyielding persistence of Elijah, claim for yourself all that God has promised. And you can tell him, I'm keeping you to your word. You have promised it. I am claiming your promise just now. And I have prayed that prayer too. Let the glorious conceptions of God possess your mind. Let your life be knit by hidden links to the life of Jesus. Notice it uses the word let here. She doesn't say make it happen or cause it to happen. She says let it happen. In other words, get out of the way. God is going to be doing something in you. Get out of the way and let it happen. Let God have his way in your life. And so she says, let your heart break. And then the next paragraph, let the glorious conceptions of God possess your mind. Let your life be knit by hidden links to the life of Jesus. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is willing to shine in your heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. My weak little heart. God is willing to do that there. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is willing to shine in your heart, the seat of the emotions, to give you a desire for these things, a desire to speak his word. Going on, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will take the things of God and show them unto you, conveying them as a living power into the obedient heart. That is the heart that's listening. That's what the word obey means, to pay close attention. Into the obedient heart, the listening heart. Christ will lead you to the threshold of the infinite. You may behold the glory beyond the veil. That's the veil to the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. You may behold the glory, that is the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God on the mercy seat in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Wow! God will do that in my heart, in your heart. Backing up just a little, you may behold the glory beyond the veil and reveal to men the sufficiency of him who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Well, that's what prayer and fasting is all about. That's the difference between a complaint and a report. If you will allow God, he will accomplish those things in you. You will see him in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, where he is removing your sin, taking your sin away. Are you willing to allow that to happen? Will you let God do that in you? There is a definition of faith that Ellen White has given us in the Review and Herald article of July 24, 1888. July 24, 1888, Review and Herald article. And we talked about believing being the substance of things expected, knowing that God has given this to us, providing it for us when we need it, even though we can't see it at the moment. But here's another definition of faith, which is just as good. You may say that you believe in Jesus when you have an appreciation of the cost of salvation. Now, the cost of salvation was Christ's own eternal life. He died the death that we deserve. And we died that with him because he died as our representative. So you and I died that with him. When he died, we died also. So you may say that you believe in Jesus when you have an appreciation of the cost of salvation. You may make this claim when you feel that Jesus died for you on the cruel cross of Calvary, when you have an intelligent understanding, faith that his death makes it possible for you to cease from sin. Are you willing to let God do that in you? When you have an intelligent understanding, faith that his death makes it possible for you to cease from sin. Now, we don't cease from sin. He dwells in us and causes us to do that. That is writing his laws on our hearts and our minds, and Jesus will dwell in our heart and in our mind through the power of the Holy Spirit if we allow him to do that. His death makes it possible for you to cease from sin and to perfect a righteous character through the grace of God bestowed upon you as the Now, bestowal is a gift. So we don't earn it. We can't make it happen. He just does it, and he gives it to us, and we just say, thank you, Lord, and let him accomplish it. Well, we've covered something really important. And we're ready to start the next chapter, and we're a little early today, but I'm going to stop here. And I want us to be able to cogitate on this, think about it, let it sink in, let it germinate in our hearts and our minds. The power of what Christ wants to do in our hearts, just going through the veil and going into his presence, even today in spiritually speaking, into the most holy place and seeing the Shekinah glory in our spiritual mind, knowing that God is there. That's worth thinking about and pondering. Oh, dear friend, let it happen in you. Say yes to God when he says, brother, sister, there's something in your life that's going to bring you down, that's going to take you to the lake of fire or whatever it is. There's something that I want to take away from you. Will you let me have it? And say yes. And fasting is an affliction of the soul, self-denial, if you will, and an earnestness attached to it. And when we say yes to God to something that he wants to take away from us so that we can have the good to replace it, that's what fasting is all about. So just say yes to God and let him have what he wants and let him give you what he has, which is righteousness, salvation, and eternal life. Everything God has, he has given to you and to me in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus, in whom you have given to us everything you have, as we have said, righteousness, salvation, eternal life is all in Christ, and he gives it to us. We pray, Lord, that he will dwell in us and do his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we can have the things in substance that we expect, even though we don't necessarily see them now. We will have them when we need them the most. Father, have mercy upon us, for we are sinners. We believe, Father, help thou our unbelief. These things we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a good rest of the evening and a good rest of the week.